Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, I don't know about you guys, but it seems like every single night I've been complaining about fatigue. And when I talk about fatigue, I'm not talking about the fact that I'm not getting a good night's sleep. I'm talking about primary fatigue. It almost makes you not want to vote. Could this be the election that kills voter interest in the country that is the United States of America? Well, not if you listen to our resident philosopher, Al Genie. He's a professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University. He joins us regularly here on the show. Al, good to see you. Talk me off the ledge.
I know, and I feel the same way. I'm so tired of the same spiel, the same stump speeches again and again. But I think we're forgetting the real purpose of this whole exercise. That is to elect a president of the United States. And this is also about, even larger than that, Justin, the right to decide, the right to choose, the right to determine our own fate as a people. I think that's the core issue involved here. All the money being spent, which is absolutely obscene when you start to think about it. But this is not the country of Louis XIV who said, I am the state. Rather, we are the state. The state exists for us. And again, let me quote Lincoln, and let me point out again, I knew him. We weren't that close. You keep thinking that we were that close. And when Lincoln said, the power of the state is its people, and the people have a right to decide what's going on.
This is this is an election that there's tremendous fatigue because it's just over and
again,
over and over,
again.
Especially when you talk about Donald Trump, this idea that can he win? People are actually voting for you. You hear it all the time. But as you point out, this is a country that is of the people, by the people, for the people. If the people want Donald Trump, the people want Donald Trump.
That's the whole premise of democracy here. And I think what we're talking about underlying all this, I think there's a whole other show here about primary politics. How should they be arranged?
Yeah.
How long should they, how much money should
how
they spend?
How they should be funded, right.
Yeah,
right,
how they should be funded, et cetera, et cetera. But what we're really talking about here is universal suffrage in the United States. And certainly it's not without its problems. Certainly we've seen real issues right from the beginning. Our founding fathers set up the Electoral College as a safeguard against the people. Should they elect the wrong person along the way?
Right.
And then males only can vote. And then there was only landowners can vote. And then there were state literacy tests. And then there was a head tax. My God. And women couldn't vote until 1920.
Now there's an ID law, right?
Right.
It continues.
Those, women couldn't vote until 1920, as they said, when the 19th Amendment was passed. And 18-year-olds, that was last year for you.
Yes, it was.
Voting,
I'm 19 and a half,
year.
Right.
In 1971, we finally passed the 25th Amendment. So what we're talking about here, and this is how I feel about it, maybe because my dad served in World War II and my grandfather served in World War I, but on the other side, we don't want to talk about that right now, but in Italy, but fighting for the Allies. And in a real sense, what we're talking about, voting is a duty. And I think not to vote is an abdication of our duty, an abdication of power, an abdication of citizenship, and the abdication of our essential legacy. Our right to choose our own
fate. Do you think when you know, I think about the first election that I voted in, 1992, Bill Clinton versus George H.W. Bush, there was a movement to make it important for me to vote. I mean, MTV was telling me to rock the vote. There was, Bill Clinton going on with saxophone. I think a lot about people who are 18 years old in 2008 with Barack Obama.
Right.
And Hope. Is this generation, the generation of young voters that are coming up, do they feel the same duty? I mean, you mentioned World War II, Vietnam War. I just mentioned, the idea of television telling me to vote. Is that still there? Because
it's not. It's still there. In some sense, though, people are saying, a plague on both their houses right now. I think older folks, my generation, are saying, well, it's the same old stuff. What batch is this? Younger folks are saying, I'm not involved in this. That's why I think Bernie Sanders and Mr. Trump are intriguing people to come back and say, maybe I can make a difference. But the sad fact is, and this is somewhat appalling, of the recent statistics about people voting, and they're pretty steady. I would love somebody who's into big data to be exact on this. Presidential elections are still only about a 50% turnout of possible electors. Congressional elections are about 40%.
Right.
Primaries have been a little up because people are interested right now. They're about 45%.
Let's not talk about aldermanic. When you get down to the lower levels,
that 6 votes makes you an alderman's very often, right? And the sad reality is in the late 80s, more people bowled every year than voted in congressional elections, And there's some real research on that. And there's a sage warning behind all this. When you don't vote, you get exactly the kind of government you deserve.
That's a great point, because I was going to say, right now you've got this, it seems to be fatigue based on the fact that we've had gridlock, that we've had a Republican Congress and a Democrat president, political power just kind of going at each other. You've seen that on both sides of the coin, this rejection of the traditional politician.
Right.
Is that, I mean, that's playing in, but it also has to do with the fact that the numbers you just mentioned, less than half of the country are actually exercising their right to vote.
It seems to me, and I'm trying to read the papers and look at the tea leaves behind the papers, they have this new surge of people voting, but you've had other people drop out. So you still got the same kind of percentage, the same essential percentage. Now, there are a lot of people who said, you know, Donald Trump speaks to me. They've forgotten about me. Of course, every billionaire speaks to a lower middle class person, et cetera, et cetera. It's a strange phenomenon. But you brought this up. Bernie Sanders, in some sense, is a protest candidate. And I think he's really brought something to the table. Democrats thought, well, he would make Hillary more of a populist. He has. There's no doubt about it at all. Here's one question for me, just at raw money. All right, Bernie, you're not going to win now. Let's assume that right now.
Right.
What are you going to do with all that money? What's going to happen
money,
to this? Why do we have to spend all this money in election? There's something wonderful. Now, it's another country, limited number of people, where in England, when there's a vote, it's 90 days, and you can only spend X amount.
And I know you're not a constitutional or electoral scholar.
No, I'm not.
But different countries do it different ways, and there seems to be a premium put on how long the elections are. In this country, we do it for one day, but you see in South America, there will be a two-week window. You know, when you think about all the different ways as a human that we vote, not just in this country, but around. Is this something that, you know, you come in, we talk about philosophy. Is this a philosophical issue?
I think it is a philosophical issue because, again, we fought so hard for the vote, the literal ability to vote. Not to vote says something about not just the actual ballot, the mechanism itself.
Right,
it says
right.
something about us. How we feel about how we should be governed, how people should rule us and run things. And I think a lot of people are just trying to stay below the radar as long as we're okay. It's like in the recession. Upper middle class people did fine. We cruised. Oh, we didn't go out to dinner that extra night that week, you know.
Right.
And so there's always that cadre of people in a society that are not touched. But I think that what we have to look at in regard to voting is, again, if you don't vote, you get the government you deserve in a very real sense. But not to be an intelligent voter is to let other people determine your life, to break the basic philosophical doctrine of Socrates, an unexamined life is not worth living.
If you have the ability to, I mean, what is it about group thing?
Yeah.
Is it someone saying, you hear it all the time, my vote doesn't really count. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of votes that are tallied. My one vote doesn't matter.
Right.
What is it, though, about the idea of us giving up that freedom, giving up that duty?
Because that notion of one vote doesn't count is really true when you're talking about that one vote. But when you have an aggregate of one votes, they do count. I point out to you that there's a great deal of scholarship that says Al Gore should have been president of the United States because of those chads, those hanging chads, and who voted and who didn't vote and how that all turned out. So I think we're talking about is the right of the people to make decision. Now, that's included in voting, but it's also including in the right to protest, which I think is just as sacred as the right to vote.
And you've seen that kind of time and time again together. I mean,
voting
and protest are always together.
And, of course, there's always the dilemma, should it be pacifistic in nature? Should it be more Socratic and based on Gandhi and based on Martin Luther King? Or is violence in the street necessary? But finding the middle position, I think the right to protest is part of our First Amendment rights, that is the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, the freedom of assembly. And we forget it, the First Amendment says the petition of a grievance. So protest is the way that democracies debate publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think protests are really, really important. I mean by that, protest as part of due process. I'm not talking about hate speech, but I think it's connected to our notion of freedom of speech. But of course, the caveat of freedom of speech, as Oliver Wendell Holmes says, you cannot yell fire in a crowded auditorium.
But isn't protest, I mean, because we're going to, I believe we're going to see some protests, what happens in the summer at the conventions. But I mean, it's not just about, you know, the haves and the have-nots. It's about, like, as you said, the petition of grievances, and grievances most of the time equal equality.
Well, not equality. If nothing else, I think grievances show up that we have a process by which people can be heard.
Right.
And I think that's what's important. Bernie Sanders is a wonderful beacon in the night. Even if he's not going to win. I don't want Bernie Sanders to win, I have to tell you, because if we've had gridlock with Mr. Obama for the last 8 years, what would we have with Bernie Sanders?
We'd have. But he is a protest candidate.
But that protest is pushing all candidates on all sides to say, oh, we've got to think about dirty money. We've got to think about how this campaign.
Donald Trump's the same on the other
side.
We've
got to think about this division of wealth in this society.
Right.
That it's no longer simply a racial division. It's how much money do you make? Where do you live? What's your zip code? And what do you drive? And so all these things are real. And I think what voting and protest is about, an expression of respectful democratic discontent, that I have a right to be discontent and I have a right to state that and I have a right to vote on that premise.
Isn't that, it's so interesting to me as a people that we will protest. We will say, you know, I'm mad at the man.
Yeah.
Or I'm you know, truth to power. I'm so angry. Right. But they won't exercise the tools and the things that are given to them by our society, our free society.
That's right. And I think that that's such an important thing that, again, voting is the mechanism by which, but it's an important mechanism. It's not enough to talk. This, you know, I've spent my life in academia. And if I never go to another academic formal discussion that I'm not myself giving for a fee, I'll be very happy because nothing comes out of it. And what happens very often in an academic debate, or somebody gives a lovely speech, what the audience does of other academics, they come up with pithy questions to demonstrate how smart they are,
right,
but nothing gets resolved. I think, hopefully, these campaigns should, you know, mobilize us to thought and action. The problem is, how long can you sustain interest? This campaign has been going on since 2013, when there are 14 Republican candidates and 6 Democratic candidates. At this point, I understand people saying a pox on both your houses.
Right.
But when you do that, the only pox is on your own house.
You know, I got to say, just this conversation and thinking more clearly about it, fatigue aside, this could be, you know, I guess the mainstream will say, oh, what a dud of an election. But this is how it's supposed to be. Protest, voting, everything in between. This is actually a very interesting
this
election.
This is a very interesting election, an extremely interesting election. In some sense, the second election of George II, that's how I always refer to him, was not an interesting election. But the reality is we have real issues on the table. And if we go left or right in this country right now, it's going to be dependent upon this. But I do think apathy sets in when we're overwhelmed. You know, it's like, here's my best analogy. Think of your favorite food. Think of it 3 times a day, 7 days a week, you know, 20 every week of the month. Pretty soon it's not. I'm a political right down to my core. But after
too
a
much.
While, I do understand a pox on both of your houses.
Al Jeaney is a professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University Chicago. And he's a resident philosopher here on The Download on WGN. Al, great to see you.
See you soon.